the name Scrooge and his oft used phrase "bah humbug" are integrated into our language, and Charles Dickens' classic Christmas story about the bitter old miser who's transformed into a gentler and kinder man by a number of ghostly visitations is also credited with bringing the phrase "Merry Christmas" into popular parlance. A Christmas Carol has been adapted numerous times and in various ways since it was originally published over 170 years ago, and one of those adaptations is coming to Ingatestone Hall next week, thanks to Early Doors Productions. And to find out more, I am joined now by the director, Amy Clayton, along with fellow cast member Justin Cartledge. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
That was quite a long-winded introduction.
No, I liked it a lot.
And I called her, I describe you as director and Justin as your fellow cast member because you're in it as well.
I am in it as well, I know, just for fun.
Wow. Just before you tell us about that, why A Christmas Carol? Obviously it's Christmas, but there's more to it than that.
Oh, it's such a wonderful story. It has a very clear message that's still relevant today, even though we're setting it traditionally. We wanted to do a traditional piece.
In Ingatestone Hall, which couldn't be better, could it?
Exactly. So we're really, really excited about it, but mainly just because it's timeless, absolutely timeless. As you mentioned, the amount of adaptations that there have been, even right up to Scrooge with Bill Murray, where it's very, very modern. The message is very, very clear, and it's wonderful. It's a lovely hit home for people that you can change and you can make society a better place.
That is really what the story is all about,
yeah,
isn't
wonderful.
It? Yeah, and this particular version is by the guy who was behind Rumpole.
That's right. Yeah, Jane Mortimer. He's been very clever to keep the characters distinctive between narrating and actual action, so we can come out and tell you a bit of the story in traditional Dickens language, and then we can actually show you what's happening, which is really interesting and a nice test for the cast because they never leave the stage. Just lovely.
Oh, right. So it really is literally telling a story rather than just putting on a performance.
That's right. It's almost as if we could be reading it to you, and then at moments that we decide you need to see that particular bit, Scrooge will appear and you'll see the scene. It's really clever. It's really cleverly written.
Fascinating. And Justin, you're not just playing one particular character in this.
No, all of the other actors are multi-rolling, so apart from Scrooge, we all kind of have one main role. So for my part, it's Jacob Marley. That's the main one. But then, yeah, you're just playing other little characters, you know, street urchins and stuff like that. But it's good fun because obviously you get to put different voices on and different characters all in one play. It's some actors find it hard to do, but I quite enjoy it. It's nice to be there to play around in one play. It's great.
Yeah, and being in Ingatestone Hall as well, that must really sort of add to the whole atmosphere and help you get into the whole thing.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. I mean, there's certain productions that just lend itself so perfectly to that location, so we were really fortunate to get it, weren't we?
Yeah. I think you've been there as well. It's a beautiful building and stuff, and as you say, you know, when the Christmas tree's up and people turn up and things like that, it'll just look so festive anyway.
And in that setting, the audience is naturally a part of the production, but especially so with what you're doing next week.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Am I allowed to say?
Don't know, are you allowed? What's he going to say?
What's he going to say? Whisper it.
It comes through. Maybe I'm not allowed to say. I don't know.
I think if you're not sure whether you're allowed to say, maybe not.
I would say if you're not sure, don't say it. That's pretty much the rule.
You don't want to spoil anything, Justin.
No.
Leave that to me. I normally spoil.
I think what Jay was going to say is that we keep the audience very involved. They're not just spectators.
Right.
And the other thing is the actual cast members get to be spectators because we get to watch what's going on, which is also very exciting.
Oh, tremendous.
We get a show every night as well. It's lovely.
Yeah. Is there sort of any comedy in it? Because it is a real good sort of feel-good story, isn't it? As you say, the whole message of the story. But
yeah, there is. I mean, obviously, the Ghost of Christmas Present, which is played by Ray Johnson, he's very good at making you laugh anyway by doing very little, but obviously he's quite a jovial character and he plays it very jovial, but then right at the end of it, where basically he reminds Scrooge of what he said earlier on, and he's quite cutting, and so therefore it becomes even more harder hitting that Scrooge suddenly thinks, I've had this wonderful moment of going around with the Ghost of Christmas Present where, you know, you see people enjoying Christmas and but now I'm being reminded why I'm being visited by these spirits. So yeah, you need, I mean, obviously it's not belly laughs, but you need those little elements of comedy to make the pathos stand out that much more.
Yeah.
So yeah,
To really emphasise the message. Now, you're always very ambitious and very, very clever with whatever you put on with sets and scenery and special effects. Obviously, a key part of this is ghosts.
Yeah, we're borrowing the real ones at the manor. Yeah. Unfortunately, I couldn't hire real ghosts. I auditioned for ghosts, didn't I? And I just couldn't get them. It was quite disappointing. Well, they may have turned up. I just didn't see them. But the yes, we have real people playing ghosts. However, what we have tried to do with this production is it's an open set, so the audience will see our costume rail, our props, everything that we need to use throughout the production. It's very open, so they will see us create the scene from nothing, and that's hopefully where the excitement will be. It's a big test for the cast. Yeah.
Now, normally, of course, as part of our chats, whatever you're putting on, I'd ask you, you know, it's next week, how can people get tickets? But the bad news is, if you haven't got a ticket,
it's too late.
It's too late already.
We are now sold out, which is wonderful. I can't wait for next week. But yeah, devastated for everybody.
I mean, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you very much.
It's a tribute to how brilliantly you are thought of in the county.
Thank
but
you.
But if anybody is just hearing about this for the first time, I am sorry, you're going to have to get in closer.
Yeah.
Listen, tell people about your website, because that's a good way of keeping in touch with what you have got coming up.
Definitely. Yeah, it's www.earlydoors.org, and that will have on there our up and coming productions, everything that we've got in the wings, just thoughts and ideas. You can contact us on there via email, Twitter, Facebook. Keep in touch.
I've had a look at that. You've got this great section called in the wings, and normally, you know, groups might be saying, well, what we've got coming up, you know, in the spring or whatever, and perhaps later on next year. You're looking right ahead to, what is it, 2019?
Yeah, why not?
Give us just a taste for one or two things that haven't sold. I take it none of these are sold out yet.
We get quite excited about what we want to do next, and we often sit down and discuss what plays we kind of want to do, and then we end up with a list of about four or five, and we think, oh, well, to hell with it, we'll do them all, and we'll decide exactly when we want to do. That's why there's so much on there already, because we know the next three or four, there might be some on that list that aren't there that we know we want to do. But yeah, so we're writing one of them ourselves. We're looking to write a sequel to Wonderland, which we did, was that last year?
Mm-hmm.
So there's other things that
might mix up the...
We will do.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's three on there, is it three?
Oh, I think there's more now.
Oh, you've got more on there than that. I mean, obviously you've got Heaven Can Wait coming up in March. Tell us just a little bit about that, Amy. What's
Heaven Can Wait.
Story?
It's a rom-com. It's based on the film Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which is a 40s film, but it takes the title from the 70s remake with Warren Beatty, which I should more people will be familiar with. And it's about a prize fighter, Joe Pendleton, who has an accident, and an eager angel takes his soul to heaven, thinking there's no way he could have survived the accident. And it turns out he was going to survive, and he really shouldn't be in heaven. So Mr. Jordan, who's like the God equivalent, says, all right, no problem, take him back. It was an accident. We'll see you in 60 years. And when they try and take him back, his body's been cremated, so now they're trying to find him another body. It's very, very funny.
Another one where I'm already wondering how you're going to do the sort of special effects. You're probably wondering yourself, but I know you'll find a way. You're so clever.
We'll have a new trick for that one. We'll have a revolving stage for that one.
Ooh.
So yeah.
Where's that going to be? That's going to be at the Cranbourne in Chelmsford.
That'll be the Cranbourne, that's right,
your
March.
Your usual venue. And then you're heading up to London.
We are heading up to London, yeah. We wanted to take Wonderland to London, didn't we? But one thing or another, we couldn't actually get it there. So we've been looking for the right thing for a while. Again, we wanted a Shakespeare on our CV, so we've decided on Macbeth for May, which is just a fabulous.
It's your first Shakespeare.
We'll
as
be
a
our
group.
First Shakespeare. Yeah, it's my personal favourite. It's a very basic story. A lot of the Shakespeares have so many undertones where people who are non-Shakespeare fans can get a bit confused. Mm. But Macbeth it's all about ambition, greed, and his eventual demise. It's a wonderful story. So yeah, we chose that one, and we had a lot of interest that sort of way, so we thought, okay, well, we'll chance our luck up there and see what happens.
And that's going to be up at the Isle of Dogs.
Yes, that's right. We're visiting the venue tomorrow to confirm it all up. But,
right.
But yeah, it's a converted church called The Space.
And then you're doing three next year. You're doing Frankenstein.
I know.
Is that going to be back at Ingatson Hall or is that still to
no,
be?
No, it won't be. We haven't decided where that will be yet.
But, right. But you're definitely doing it.
We are, yeah. And that will be self-penned as well.
I always say this when you guys come in, but what variety. You are so ambitious and every time you seem to be trying something new, pushing new boundaries in some way, whether it's with sets or the particular story or complexity that you're taking on. So, and I know you absolutely love it. I don't know where you find the time to be doing all this, to be honest with
just
you.
Just don't sleep.
And then you're looking at the sequel to Wonderland.
Yeah.
We're looking ahead over a year now,
plotted,
I guess.
And begun to be written.
Yeah, the story's there. We've wrote half of Act One, I think,
yeah.
or the basis of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's just a case of fleshing it out,
and that'll be exciting because.
Sorry.
No. What we wanted was we didn't want people to come and see that one if they hadn't seen Wonderland and then think to themselves, I don't really understand what's going on here. We didn't want it to be a complete sequel. We want it to be a standalone production. Mm. However, trying to create the links for the characters that you're going to use again, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
I remember your shoes in that one, Justin.
Wonderful
shoes. I very nearly bought a
wonderful
pair of
shoes. Wonderful shoes.
An identical pair of shoes. What I was going to ask you was, I mean, you clearly get a lot out of this yourselves. I mean, obviously the audiences do, but you know, you pay your money, you come along for an evening and have a great time. But for you guys, what a tremendous commitment. I mean, you must give so much of your lives to this. Can you actually put into words what you get out of it?
Well, I suppose it's just the satisfaction of being on stage with the best actors around, really. You know, it's we're very fortunate that people want to work with us. I think anybody that does stage acting will always say you get an immediate response from an audience, and you know that's in itself that's great for
particularly
an actor.
In an intimate setting like Ingatson Hall, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where you can see all the faces, and you're part of it.
It is very difficult to say really what you get out of it. It's just I think if you love theatre and performing, then running your own company and doing the plays that you know you want to do and hopefully other people want to do and be part of in itself is a reward enough, isn't it, I suppose.
Brilliant. Look, it's such a shame that you've sold out. Well, it's great in many ways that you've sold out next week because you've got, what, four nights, is it?
Four nights, that's right, yeah.
So, tremendous stuff. If you are going along to that, I know you're going to really enjoy that if it's your first time at a production by Early Doors. But if you haven't got tickets, don't worry. There is loads of stuff up on their website. So, do check that out and book early for the next one. And you will be in again, I hope, in a couple of months to tell us about Heaven Can Wait.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Justin, Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Phoenix FM.